This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
As you recall, last month, Diane and I sat down with Pat O'Neill and Kyle Kelly to talk about the history of the St. Patrick's Day Parade right here in the Kansas City area. But as you know, with the history of the Irish in Kansas City, you can't talk about it without talking about Kelly's, arguably the most famous bar in KC.
There isn't a person, I think, in Kansas City who's been here for a period of time who hasn't been inside Kelly's or Kelly's Westport Inn and doesn't have some type of story to tell, or maybe don't want to tell, about their time inside that bar. Yeah. And it really is that, I think that that's what's so special and what has been maintained is, I think the character of Kelly's, which I hope we can talk about, the characters of Kelly's is kind of that mishmash. It's the segmentation of it. It's the fact that you do walk uphill in certain parts of it. And that not much has changed in all of these years. And it's also the legacy, 75 years, the legacy continues. And I'm assuming you want the legacy to continue for many, many more years.
Oh, I couldn't be in a more perfect situation with my two kids, Colleen and Mitch, running the place. And it's a great deal for my brother, Pat, too, because we can ease out of the business. Right now, I kind of do what bookwork I can that doesn't need to be put on their plate. They've got kids, they're raising a family, their families, and I try to help out in ways that I can. Don't get behind the bar much anymore, but it's a good situation. It's perfect.
To your point, the legacy, I mean, I think Kelly's is responsible for probably 4% of today's population because of how many people have been married there, met there, right? How many weddings?
Yeah, who knows?
Gosh, couldn't count them all, you know, when we were collecting pictures. But so many people met there because it's such a melting pot. You know, when we were young, it's like trying to get in there on a Friday night. We're 20. Kyle and I have the same birthday, exactly. So I made the, you know, a habit to show up on our birthday at Kelly's because I knew I wouldn't have to pay for any drinks.
That's right. And,
but you know, we remember how, they still do it today. I guess not that I've been there after 11 o'clock at night in 20 years, but... You know, it was like a big deal to like force your way through the crowd all the way around the back to see who was there and then take your way out. And it would take half an hour just to make that circuit because it was like body to body. Somebody said you never had to, you couldn't sit down because there was no room.
I want to couldn't fall down either.
I think that too, the idea of the St. Patrick's Day Parade kind of falls into a little bit with the Kelly's history. And again, to talk more about that, the idea of the parade kind of moving from downtown a little bit more into midtown and just how many people choose to try to squeeze themselves into Kelly's on one day of the year. Mm-hmm.
You know, the irony of that energy is that my dad shut down Kelly's, which was Westport Inn at the time, in 1965 on Paddy's Day.
I read that.
It was too crazy. He said, not going to do this. my brother Pat and I took over running the place in the late 70s. 1982, we said, we got to give this a shot. You know, April 1st is our renewal for our general liability policy, and it's always a big nut, you know. And we thought, let's see if we can knock that out in one day.
Yeah, and you did.
We did. And we did.
So yeah. What was it like that first St. Patty's Day that you guys were finally open?
We overprepared. We absolutely overprepared. We'd had busy days, mm-hmm. you know. It's just that you're busy for 16 hours straight, mm-hmm. and it's nonstop. So we packed 2 weeks worth of business in the 16 hours.
Right.
You're busy. But we overprepared. We moved inventory, you know, furniture, et cetera, et cetera. We finally just realized we can just kind of go with it. Just make sure there's plenty of product and ice.
Right. And you know? So what was the reaction from the people like when they found out this Irish bar was actually going to be open on St. Patrick's Day? I mean, I can imagine people couldn't wait to get in there that day.
It was a pretty big deal, especially for some of the customers that we'd had for 20, 30 years that had never experienced a Patty's Day. Mm-hmm. And were saying, you got to be kidding, you're closed. We said, my dad said it was a holy day of obligation. You know, we have to close on St. Patrick's Day. So it was a big deal. And there's still people that I see only one time a year, and it's on Patty's Day.
Jeez.
And they're not 30 years old. Some of these guys are my age or older.
Right.
Yeah. And it's cool. It's a great reunion.
We talked about the mix of people. One of the stories we wrote about in the book was the squirrel table.
Mm-hmm.
Describe that.
You know, it's a very, very eclectic group of people that met at Kelly's and really, honestly, from all walks of life.
How many years ago? It was like back in the 60s, wasn't
it? It's been 50 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They still come
getting together. Yeah. And they become friends. They've, you know, one of them became a minister and married people and just crazy stuff. They bought a horse together.
Yeah.
horse race. Anyway, just a really, really fun group of people.
It's like a mix of journalists and business people and bankers and all kinds of eccentrics.
Oh, yeah. A property manager. Yeah, all over the place. And they got their name, which is really interesting, the squirrels, from one of our old waitresses, Sam Hootman. Her real name was Eulalia Clara Hootman, and she was a teeny little lady. She was in her 60s, white hair, and she'd wait on them, and they'd order trays of dimes. Dimes were 10-cent beers mm-hmm. in about a 6-ounce split glass. And they'd order their drinks like two people at a time, and there's six people sitting there. And she goes, oh, you're all a bunch of damn squirrels. Because they didn't tip very well either.
Right, yes.
Of course.
So she changed all those habits.
So is that still going on today? Are these folks still getting together today?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Are they accepting new members into this club?
It's a tough application. Rigorous process.
I bet it is, yeah.
As opposed to the rugby teams, the Blues and whatnot would come in and order 200 and 300 dimes at a time.
Right.
Dad finally put an end to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't be doing that. No.
Too much work on the bartenders.
And not enough in it in return if you're not tipping, too. Right. So when you guys put this book together, what was, from both of you, what was your favorite story that you heard or found out? And you're like, man, this one just tells the story of Kelly's to a T.
Gosh, I don't know if there's a favorite. I will say there was one that came about in the process of this, and it's actually not in the book, I don't think, but one of our old bartenders, Joe Latona, who ended up going and working at Stroud's when they opened, he was our day bartender, and he got to know my dad real well, because that's when my dad would be working up there in the days, and guys would come in. There was one guy that was a blind guy that used to make brooms, and Joe said, you know, Kelly, or Mr. Kelly, I always called Dad Mr. Kelly. Mr. Kelly would always buy a broom from the guy. And he goes, there were 6 or 8 of them in the back room that nobody'd ever touched yet. But whenever he came in, he'd buy a broom from the guy. And I just thought that was the old school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things we discovered, you know, in the bar's initial days as the Westport Inn was, well, you know, some of us are old enough to remember when the Manor Bakery was right next door.
Right.
And so... And then Kelly's and Kyle, they did almost not a 24-hour day business, but it started early and went late.
Kelly's was open all sorts of crazy hours.
We opened from 6 a.m. to 1:30.
Wow.
For 50 years.
Well, the bakers got off work at like 6 or whatever, right? And they come straight
the night
over.
Shift.
Yeah.
That's their night, you know.
That's their 5 p.m.
Yeah. My brother was a brewer for Anheuser-Busch for several years. And when he worked that, they're right around the brewery in St. Louis, there were about three bars that catered to the AB employees that were getting off work at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And they go in there and throw them back until 8:39, then go home and pass out.
You
know?
Right, yeah.
So, but it's crazy.
And a lot of the nurses and healthcare employees from, you know, that work nights.
And some of our finest. City's finest.
Uh-huh. And some of the city's finest, yeah, when they got off work, yeah.
The frontline workers.
But, you know, when you know, if you're familiar with Kelly's, and all of us are, and when we can remember, but on the front of the front of the building on the left is like almost a separate addition, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't realize this until we were writing the book and doing some research, is like Henry Perry, the father of Kansas City Barbecue, used to cook or smoke meats there,
yep,
and sell them right out that front window.
Yeah, it was very interesting, because if you look at Kelly's, and everybody's probably, you know, get on Google, you can find a picture, and they're everywhere. It's longer on the left side, as right. I say. It's longer right. on the left side. And looking that is, here, that's 502.
Yeah.
And 502 Westport Road. And when I was doing research on Henry Perry, people coming from all over the place, limousines pulling up to Henry Perry's.
Yeah.
And this was down in, you know, of course, East Kansas City, near where Bryant's is today. But he actually, for a very short amount of time, had a second location. And I could not believe, I went, 502 Westport Road.
Yeah, where is that?
What? And, you know, I mean, that would have been very unusual at the time. One is to have an African-American in that portion of the city. He had such a great reputation for this barbecue that he was able to run a second location out of the site of Kelly's. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. What is that used for today, that little portion now? I mean, because it's your building now.
That's Kyle's office? Very plush executive office.
I've been in there.
Yeah. World headquarters.
Yeah, but between the ice machine and the
walk-in cooler.
Plenty of space for you to get your job done, right? That's all you need is a little area like that.
Long as I can close the door.
Right, yeah. Not be bothered by everything. But was there something that you learned about Kelly's writing this book that you're like, my God, I never knew this existed, or never knew this story, or something that really just jumped out at you where you're just like, wow, I had no idea. I'm so glad I wrote this book.
Hmm.
You know, for me, there was more than a handful of stories that I'd not heard before. But I think more importantly, it's how many lives were touched mm-hmm. by the building at 500 Westport Road. And I'm still here. And today I play golf with these guys on Monday night. And one of them said, oh yeah, my wife and I met at Kelly's. We loved your book. And I said, you know, crap. I wish I would have known that, you know, but I'm still hearing stuff like that. And the book has kind of promoted some of that conversation now.
Yeah. Do you guys remember the old TV sitcom Malcolm and Eddie with Eddie Griffin and, you know, Malcolm Jamal Warner. And that's the show started with a picture of the exterior of Kelly's. It was modeled on as if they lived upstairs over Kelly's mm-hmm. was kind of the inference.
Eddie was from Kansas City,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
yeah. So he was, I mean, obviously he's got kind of that hometown touch where he could do something.
But
like
I mean,
that.
You could be sitting there in the 70s and turn around and go, is that Leave It to Beaver next to me? It is. You know, I mean, it's just like you never knew who was going to be in there. There's all kinds of sports figures and movie stars and, you know, everybody that wandered into Kelly's at one time or another.
I think my favorite from what I saw from that I did not know when I looked at Poor Man's Playground, the book, was the connection to Thomas Hart Benton, which I think you mentioned a little bit before, but that, you know, he was kind of, you know, a man's man. And so he'd go in and nobody would really, I assume, just sit at the bar and have a beer and or whiskey. I think
Bourbon and Branch.
That's what,
Right.
And he'd sit at the bar and just whatever. So once he passed away, and I think it was 1975, when he passed away, they did an annual birthday party for him at Kelly's. Yeah. And I'm like, Thomas Hart. And then thinking about Kelly's, thinking about the, you know, the ambiance, and then imagining millions of dollars of art being, I am assuming, brought in for that one day.
Right.
Like, Kelly's was a mini Nelson for one day. I love that.
A lot of his works were in the vault at United Missouri Bank. Mm-hmm. And so every year, people from the organizing committee would go down to the bank and go through the paintings and decide which ones to use. And one day when I was setting up for it, a gentleman named Luer, who had a son at Rockhurst High School with my brother Pat, he's got an original Benton. I go to hang it up, and there's no backing on it, and I'm just sticking on a nail on our brick wall. And I said, "Mr. Luer, how much is this painting worth?" And he goes, "I've got it insured for $3 million.
Holy cow.
My heart's pounding. And I said, "Do not poke a hole in this." You know, it's just a regular, typical nail sticking out. Which he goes, "Oh, it'll be okay. It'll be okay."
Wow.
$3 million. He made enough money in his life, he didn't have to trade out for his bar tab but at Kelly's. Yeah. But what was Carson did.
Bob Carson.
Talk about Carson.
Bob was a really interesting soul.
Former boxer,
photographer. He was featured on Kansas City Time magazine back when it was a Sunday insert, full upper torso picture of him and all his tattoos. Mm-hmm. And it was from his Marine time and I think his boxing days, etc. And we've probably got 15 or 20 of his sketches at the bar. And I have 15 or 20 still at home. There were trade outs for his bar tab.
Right.
Yeah.
You
know, bar tab every month. My guy, $50. I've been meaning to get this paid. Here, take this. And if you need another one, let me know. And, you know.
Were you able to turn any of them into cash or anything like
that?
No.
Those are keepsake. Oh, yeah. You know.
And they're good. They're fun. I mean, he had a great sense of humor. And a lot of Irish themed paintings. You know, you'll see them in there. When you walk around a bar, you'll know they're not watercolors. They're like chalk art, aren't they?
Yeah, they're like chalk. And my favorite one's probably on the steps going up to the deck, and it's three characters outside waiting for Kelly's to open. And it's like 1880s outfits and stuff, right. And big gruff lady kind of like just
some
nasty
guy with
looking.
Bandages over his eyes, like he's just in a fight.
It's Stevedore. Yeah.
What time were they there if they're waiting for a 6 a.m. bar to open, you know? Like, they went all night and they're ready for it to open.
From 1:30.
Yeah. So, waiting. I mean, if it closes at 1:30, opens at 6 a.m., there's not much lag time. Like, it's a 24-hour establishment pretty with somebody in there constantly, right?
Yeah, we backed off to 6 o'clock in the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What made you back off from the 6 a.m. opening?
Too many people staying out all night.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Stimulated.
Yeah.
And I don't know when the bakery, did it close? Or, I mean, did you have a lot of people in the area that maybe, too?
Yeah, when did the bakery close?
Early 90s.
Was it? Okay.
Because Manor Square was built in 96, I think.
Well, and back in the heyday of the bakers, they would they'd pass around, you know, before they got off in their shift in the morning, mm-hmm. and say, "You gonna meet? Gonna go to choir practice this morning?"
Yeah.
Choir practice meet at Kelly's and at 7:15.
7:15, yeah. Early in the morning, get it on.
It was 85.
85.
Not 90s, it was 85.
Yeah. Choir practice went on for many
years. Do you ever anticipate getting back to that, like for old time's sake and doing, you know, kind of the 6 a.m. opening and just
not on
being one of those places?
Not on a regular basis. Do we still, every once in a while, somebody will call us from the old choir practice days, and it could be a group of nurses, PD, et cetera, mm-hmm. and they'll call and say, "We want to have choir practice." It's usually 7 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and one of our bartenders, Red, will go in and greet the people. But, you know, I've walked in the bar a couple times when the choir practice is ending at 10:30 or 11, and, like, there's a couple motorcycles on the sidewalk. It's like, this is not looking good. It's one thing when you see that in Westport at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
But at 11 a.m., it's like, okay.
They've been here since 7. It's a long day already, right? Yeah. So you brought up Red. Is there anybody more recognizable in Kansas City than Red? Like, I think if you mention Red from Kelly's, everybody has a moment where they met him, had a story, poured him a drink. Like, he is arguably the most popular bartender in the history of this town.
It's a story you can back up, I think. Yeah, Red's touched a lot of different people. It's crazy.
He's like, "Where's Westport?" He shows up everywhere.
Yeah.
He's like everywhere.
How long has he been employed?
41 years.
41
wow.
and Mark years.
Weber.
That's my lifetime.
Mark Weber's been there 47, 48 years.
What do you think causes people, besides the fact that we're all very nostalgic about Kelly's, it's unusual in the, and I can say this from being a past bartender in the service industry, et cetera, for people to last anywhere that long. So what is it that do you think drives them to stay for all, you know, almost generationally?
You know, I think... an employee-employer relationship is a two-way street.
Right.
I think most importantly, it's they're the nucleus of our success. You know, besides our customers, which we've had wonderful, wonderful customers, very loyal base, but our employees, you need to take care of them. You know, give them the tools to be successful.
Yeah.
And then you gotta find the right people too. You gotta like people if you're gonna be in the bar business.
Yeah, absolutely. Red loves people. There's no question.
Yeah, there's no doubt there.
Yeah,
yeah. We hired him on the first day we reopened on Patty's Day.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
One of his buddies from high school was one of his four high schools was working for us, and I said, God, we need some more people. You know, we need to have 28 people working today instead of 12. And he says, I got a friend, Dave Cross. I said, okay, well. We'll take him. He hasn't left.
Yeah. Why are you still here? Don't you need to go home? But I mean, he's as synonymous with Kelly's as like Sam was with Cheers, to steal a kind of a fictional term, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Red's made me laugh a lot. He's also got my gander up a little bit, too, at times.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, hey, 41 years of any relationship, you know, it's bound to happen. Yeah. Has there been a moment where you walked into the bar and you went, oh, my God, that's so-and-so. I never thought I would see somebody of that level here sitting in my bar hanging
famous
out.
Famous person.
Because I remember one of my Kelly stories goes back probably about 20 years, and my sister was in town. She's a big Yankee fan. And so she came into town, took her to the Royals games and up in the press box and all that kind of stuff. And after the game, we went to Kelly's. And we're in there. We're just having a couple of cocktails and drinks. And she's about 21 or 22 years old at the time, I think. And in walks Derek Jeter, Jorge Posada, and Bernie Williams. And as a Yankee fan, she just started crying. And this is pre-cell phone, so you couldn't get a selfie or anything like that. But she's like, oh, my God, I've never seen them in person. And this is the greatest thing ever. And I'll always have that memory of Kelly's with me and my sister and her losing her shit, basically, because she saw the three like most prominent Yankees that you could possibly see at that point in time.
That was the same reaction Kyle had when he met Tiny Tim.
Pretty close.
That would be awesome.
Pretty close. He sang me a song, You Can't Knock the L Out of Kelly. With his gnarly fingers on his ukulele.
That's got to be one of the coolest things ever, though. Seriously, Tiny Tim sat there and sang you a song.
It was a ballad to me.
An ode.
What about you, Pat? Have you ever had one of those moments where you're like, oh, my God, what are you doing here?
No, but I mean, well, you know, there's kind of a network of Irish bars among our friends we all grew up with. You know, one is the Walsh's Corner Cocktail.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Great place for a burger.
And then we grew up together and all that. But it wasn't uncommon during the Plaza Playhouse theater days that you'd turn around and see, aren't you Eddie Haskell? You know, I mean, it's just they'd be at the bar, just, you know, you'd look familiar. And was it somebody? And Kelly said, yeah, I sat next to Wally, and I called him Beaver. I said, yeah, we get that all the time.
Yeah. Iowa State has made this place a home as well in Kansas City. Oh. How did that relationship start? Because when the Big 12 tournament rolls in the town, everybody knows every Cyclone in the place or in Kansas City is going to Kelly's. How did that all begin?
Yeah, probably about 84, 85, there was four Iowa State fans in Kelly's on a Wednesday night before the Big 8 basketball tournament was going to be played the next day. And they said, you know, next year we ought to send out some flyers and let's all meet down here to kick off the tournament. And the next year about 60 people showed up. We thought, hey, a Wednesday night, 60 more people, this is awesome. And it is, Iowa State fans have literally put my kids through private education. They are incredible.
Yeah.
And that's just the monetary part of it.
Correct.
You know, they're a big, big boost for Kelly's, and they have been since 85. But their loyalty and their camaraderie, it's crazy, you know. They're really, really good sports fans.
Yeah, they are. They're
good sports fans.
They're unbelievable. Like, you know, each year the Big 12 tournament comes and goes here in Kansas City. And I always say, well, I went to KU. Obviously, I'd like to see KU win it. But I'm more concerned with Iowa State winning and keeping the local economy going
right.
than I am about these local schools. Because Kansas fans, Missouri fans, at the time you come and go, you don't stay here. Iowa State fans basically move in on Tuesday, and then they leave when their team gets eliminated. But I'm always one of the biggest Iowa State fans, because I know how good it is for guys like you.
Yeah. Some of the time they don't leave after the team gets beat either.
Yeah.
You know, I think most hotel rentals are probably booked through the weekend, so the out-of-towners just stay anyway. Mm-hmm. In fact, it might free them up to do more drinking.
That's right, yeah. You come down to the bar instead of going to the Sprint Center.
But if you see them after a game, you can't tell if they won or lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the same. They're just very even-keeled, always having fun. It's a blast.
I think that Kelly's in general, I mean, there hasn't been a time. It's always funny. I've been into Kelly's when there aren't that many people.
Sure.
It's like a whole different. I'm like, I discover things I didn't ever know was there before, because most of the memories that I have are, you know, the crowded night where you're trying to make the lap and get to the back of the bar and see who's there, now go upstairs. Yeah. What do you think that people that have those Kelly's memories can really take from the book, The Poor Man's Playground?
Well, for me, and I think it did this for Pat too, is it stirred up a lot of those memories, mm-hmm. capturing the stories. And I think when people look at the book and go through it, there'll be a lot of triggers. There'll be a lot of things in there. They'll say, oh, that's right. After the Royals World Series game, such and such. Yeah.
You know, right at the very beginning of the book, we have a picture of the contemporary squad, you know, Kyle and Pat and Mitch and
Colleen
and all that. And, it's right away. It's just like Kimi Falcha. You know, it's like that's the first headline in the book is welcome, 100,000 welcomes. I think it reminds people how welcoming and open that place is. It's never had pretensions. It's always just been the poor man's playground.
How do you feel about, like, in the Kelly's, like, the book itself, what spawned it? Whose idea was it to put this together? Because I know, Kyle, you are a prolific writer. I'm sure that you are ready to sit down and write these pages. Like, what was...
None of the stuff I write could be published.
You can't read it. Yeah, his signatures look like...
He's giving me a hard time about that.
Who signed that?
Sister Patrick O'Neill.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Kyle Kelly? I can't tell.
I've worked on it.
But you had a lot of stories to share. So
we actually thought about doing one for our 50th anniversary 25 years ago. And the lady that was going to help us put together, she actually got a really bad case of the flu, and she was so dehydrated that she ended up having like symptoms of a stroke. Mm. And it disabled her for months and months and months. And so at that point, it was kind of like, okay, you know, we put a couple ads in some magazines saying, send us your stories.
Okay.
And that was, we barely scratched the surface of it. And so 25 years ago, we thought about doing it. And then more recently, after I've, witnessed his writing,
right,
Pat, for so long, I said, well, there's only one guy I can ask to do this. So we got together on it, probably starting about 3 years ago now.
Yeah, but we knocked it out in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we really did.
Well, because we had to procrastinate for a couple of years. And
to put the pressure on.
That's the Irish in you.
And we were still late.
Yeah.
but a lot of it is just, stories that people have told over the years. Yeah. How much research did you do or really care if they're true or not? Because I would imagine with a book like this, the taller the tale, the better the tale, right?
Well, Mike Donegan, who owned Stroud's and worked at Kelly's in the early 70s, he was famously known for saying, never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we didn't.
So you didn't, right.
Well,
Why waste your time trying to validate it?
I believe people. If they tell me, this guy's purple, I'm okay.
Yeah. Hey, it's your perception. Roll if you think it. It's true, you just go with it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 75 years of this place. I mean, you always want to say, well, here's to another 75. But this seems like a business in Kansas City that no matter the times, no matter what's going on, like, you could always count on Kelly's to be there.
We found out after, seriously, I've worked there over 50 years, and probably after being there 30 years, when the first kind of significant bumps in the road occurred, that it's like, okay, we're exposed here. You know, we can't open the doors and just expect people to come in. And it took us and our employees to another level on what we had to accomplish. So while I will say I took it for granted mm-hmm. for a long time, I don't think my kids have that attitude at all. And I'm very thankful for that because they dig in. You know, they get creative and mm-hmm. they're studious about stuff. Some of the time I might drive them a little crazy because I can be type A, but my son Mitch can
yeah. Was meat bingo your idea?
Oh, God, no. No. No.
What have you had to do to reinvent yourselves over the years? You said you hit that bump in the road. What was that bump and what did you do?
Some of it was city issues.
Yeah.
You know, challenges. We started going more into the entertainment venue profile. Well, actually, we started decades ago doing Thursday night with Eddie Delahunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a couple other guys that used to play on Thursday nights, and it was just a small thing, no cover charge. And now we're, you know, bands or DJs every Friday and Saturday. That changed it. That was probably the biggest step, adding the rooftop deck. And then if we ever do any remodeling, we try not to overdo it.
Yeah, because you don't want to take away the charm of the of the building. Yeah.
When you have also, of course, if you're on the National Register, you can only do so much too,
yeah.
which I'm sure is good and bad because mm-hmm. there's good things. You know, you can have some financial benefits for being on National Register, but then also you can't just alter a building. But I do think that it has, I think of Kelly's, it's a destination though too. It's not, some people stumble in there because when they're at another bar, but most of the people I know really go down there to go to Kelly's.
It's a destination.
It's a destination, sure. Which I don't know if it necessarily, kind of the neighborhood bar to start with, I'm assuming. And your dad, when he was bartending, an Irish brogue. I mean, everybody's going to want to, I want to order a beer from you too.
Right.
And he just started as a bartender and then turned this into something that, you know, really is iconic in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah. People gravitate to real, you know, I mean, a lot of us do, you know, we go to went through the Fern Bar stage and all those kinds of things. We still like places with personality and character, mm-hmm. especially a local personality or character, but it's the fact that it was real. I mean, your dad was, you know, he could be a glib, charming Irishman, and he could be the other Irishman
too. He could
too.
Be a hard ass.
And but people like that. I mean, it kind of that's real. It was, you know, it wasn't corporate. It was just real. And
manufactured.
That engendered a lot of loyalty. Yeah, yeah. It was funny. One of the things in the book we talk about is when your dad, you know, started looking up, and all of a sudden, all the people in front of his bar had hair down to their shoulders, and
yeah,
the '60s and '70s.
Goatees and stuff, and how he was kind of shocked for a while, and then finally said, "Man, you know, the only problem is they don't buy soap, but that leaves them money to buy more beer."
That was in the Star.
Yeah.
Adjusting for the customers of that time period.
Yeah, because I think the first head shop in Kansas City opened right across the street. So you can imagine the old guy sitting in the window at noon going, "What the hell's going on over there? What's a black light?
Is that a boy or a girl with that hair?
What's that smell?"
Yeah. Well, Westport is the kind of the heart of Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was incorporated before Kansas City, Missouri, mm-hmm. by 17 years, I think.
Yeah.
And it's a starting off point for the California, Santa Fe, and Oregon trails.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's the port to the west.
Yeah.
Really, the foundation of, and it's hard to, I think that a lot of downtown areas, I think Westport maintains more of the downtown charm of those markers and historical markers that you can see versus our downtown Kansas City. And we're doing a better job of marking some stuff, but there's not much to mark because we like to tear things down in lieu of for progress.
Right.
And so when you're looking at, I know this from my students, it's like, this is where this used to be. They're like, we don't care. But, and I keep waiting for the day, I'll say this publicly, I keep waiting for the day because I take my students on a field trip And we do our first field trip is the early history of Kansas City. And we go to Westport, of course, and stand and talk about John McCoy and his store and all of these things. But we stand out. Kelly's is never open. Thank God. But I'm like, this building is the oldest in Kansas City. And we walk over to the building next door to it is also built about around the same time, which is the Bridgers building, Chateau Bridger building. And, you know, they can see it. And I'm like, it's a bar. You'll someday, kids, someday. But I've actually thought about taking the guys to the deli, you know, and have them eat lunch there so they can go inside because I can justify it. I can't take them just into a bar like, here it is, guys, the saloon, you know.
Right.
But standing outside of there, they can actually see that history. And I think that that's what partially what makes Kelly's so iconic, too, is that it still looks like it did. And it's still kind of exudes that energy, even though it's been rebranded successfully as Kelly's Westport Inn, but it's still such an iconic spot that people can see versus the plaque on the side of something that is, you know, now a highway. And I just think that's really special. Can you tell people where you can get your book?
Yes, at from our website, kellyswestportinn.com, or at 500 Westport Road, Kansas City, Missouri.
So you can take your change from your boulevard or black and tan. I'm never ordering a black and tan.
No, never again, right? After hearing
I'll
that
take a
story,
Guinness straight.
I'll take a Guinness and I'll take a boulevard and we'll call it a day. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on this two-part episode of kind of looking at the Irish history of Kansas City.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And Kelly's as well. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Really appreciate
it. Thank
you, Diane. Yeah. God bless you.
The Irish American population in Kansas City has obviously had a major impact. They head up one of the largest parades in the United States today with the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And, of course, everybody who's lived in Kansas City at one time or another has been to Kelly's and has a story to tell.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.